the Mormon Church is undergoing some drastic changes. This weekend, for the first time, two non-white men were appointed to the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, the highest governing body in the church besides the church president. One of the men is Latin American and the other is Asian American. This marks a huge diversification of the church leadership. Also this weekend, hundreds of protesters gathered to urge the church to change its policy on closed-door meetings between bishops and youth. They presented stories of their own personal experiences when they say they were asked inappropriate questions. Joining us now to talk about all of this and what it means is Patrick Mason. He's the chair of Mormon Studies at Claremont Graduate University. Good morning, Patrick. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks. Good morning.
So let's start with these newly appointed apostles. The Mormon Church has been criticized for a long time for being discriminatory toward non-white members. There was a policy of not ordaining black men until the late 1970s. So how significant are these appointments?
Well, this is hugely significant. This really speaks to the growing global diversity of the church. For several years now, there have been more members of the LDS Church outside the United States than inside, but the senior ranks of the leadership didn't look like this. So this was a huge step in terms of making the leadership begin to represent more of what the church membership looks like.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about these new apostles?
So one is named Garrett Gong. He's a third-generation Chinese-American, very impressive guy, PhD from Oxford, an expert in international relations and especially Asia before being called into church leadership. So I imagine that he will take a leading role in the church's expansion in Asia. And the other one is named Ulysses Suarez. He's from Brazil. And this is significant because Brazil has been a site of major growth of the church over the past four decades. And so I think this really speaks to the church's commitment to South America.
Right. Okay, so let's talk about the protests outside the temple in Salt Lake. These came at the same time as the church's semi-annual conference. And the message was that inappropriate things sometimes happen when a bishop is counseling a young person. We talked with you recently about a tape that was leaked in which a then missionary training center president admitted to assaulting a female church member. The stories that were compiled, so these youth then compiled these stories, right, in a book and presented it to a church spokesperson this weekend, and it detailed instances where people claimed that they were asked inappropriate questions by bishops, including very detailed, intimate questions about their behavior with boyfriends or girlfriends, also about masturbation. So that's some of the complaints that they have. Can you tell us how the church is responding to this?
Well, so far there hasn't been a formal response. Interestingly, the church already did make a change to its policy last week before General Conference, making it official church policy now that other adults could be in the room when teenagers or women are being interviewed by these male priesthood leaders. And that was originally one of the main requests of these protesters. And so the church actually preempted the protests in that way. And so now the focus has been shifted on the types of questions that are being asked. And I expect that the church will at some point provide training to its leaders to not become too explicit in the kinds of questions that especially they ask teenagers.
Right. So that's some of the response. Is that change in policy that came in response to some of these complaints that started to bubble up?
I don't think there's any doubt about it. I mean, the timing is not coincidental. So it's a response to broader cultural shifts, of course, with the Me Too movement and the kinds of things we're seeing across various industries and across the country. But then in response, obviously, to the case of Joseph Bishop as well that we talked about on air. And so I don't think the timing is coincidental. A lot of people have said it's overdue and that this is the right thing to do for the church leadership moving forward.
Right. But the people organizing this march are saying that this isn't enough, this change in policy, that it should be required that an adult or a parent is in the room with the young person when they're meeting with a bishop. Is there any sign that that might happen?
I don't see any signs of that in the near future. I mean, the church does want to preserve the ability of its bishops and local leaders to have confidential one-on-one interviews with people when appropriate. I mean, that is it's an intimate pastoral relationship in which people are oftentimes talking about very confidential things. The church would say there are times that teenagers don't want their parents in the room because there are things that they want to work through with a bishop that they wouldn't want want their parents to know. And, you know, that's a controversial stance, but the church is going to maintain that. So I don't see a requirement of an additional adult in the room anytime soon.
All right. Patrick Mason is the chair of Mormon Studies at Claremont Graduate University. Patrick, thanks so much.
Thank you.